Firehair. And welcome to Sonic Fire episode 4, the podcast.
That's, you know, honestly, just be glad you didn't hear the first thing we tried. It wasn't really very good at all.
Way to promote the media, man.
Is it bad that I'm not promoting stuff that no one will ever hear?
Yes. Okay. So this is Sonic Fire, episode 4. I'm Firehair, and that is Sonic Rob. And we're going to talk to you about movies, books, games.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, actually.
All right, movies, books, games. Let's do it in that order. Have we seen any movies recently? There's been nothing in the theater that I have the curse of Netflix, and I don't know who else has this, but I see a preview or I see a film, and I say, small screen.
I saw Fantastic Mr. Fox last week.
I've heard good reviews.
You can hear another one from me.
All right. Fantastic Mr. Fox. How was it?
You should see that movie.
Okay, I'll go see that movie.
Awesome. Next topic.
I really want to go see Sherlock Holmes.
Why?
Because I love Robert Downey Jr., and I love Sherlock Holmes, and I like Guy Ritchie. I like Guy Ritchie movies.
That pregnant pause there was filled with my eyebrow.
Yeah, Rob just gave me an arch look. Rob apparently does not like Guy Ritchie. Now, I never saw Revolver because it looked like a pile of crap.
Did you see Rock'n'Rolla?
I did not see Rock'n'Rolla. I did not see Swept Away. I like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch.
Okay, so you haven't seen any of his last three movies or a movie he's made in the last 10 years.
Basically, I like Guy Ritchie without Madonna flavor.
What makes you think it's all been rinsed away? I mean,
I think that, I'm just saying.
Her thick, viscous fluid is still clinging to
him.
And that's the face I'll be making when the baker drags me to Sherlock Holmes.
Okay, so I should plan on going to Sherlock Holmes with you and your life partner and my man beast.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're going to wind up going, so.
So I think it's got a good shot.
Well,
it looks quirky and spunky and fun, and spunky. I think it'll be good. It looks spunky.
It looks to me like a very, very actioned up version of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Which, on the one hand, okay, but on the other hand, no. You know, Emer, I had that inscribed copy of the complete works of...
Yeah, we both read it.
You know.
Yes, both of us have read all of the Sherlock Holmes stories.
It's sort of near and dear to me, and this is...
You need to take this as an inspired by, man.
It's the Dante's Inferno.
Oh,
Sherlock
no,
Holmes.
Don't even go there. Don't even go there.
It's adapted.
Okay,
adapted from... Robert Downey Jr. has a cross stitched into his chest.
Okay, stop, man. We're going to get to that later. Now you're referring to something we're going to talk about later because we've already talked about what we're going to talk about later.
Oh, so this is the bane of actually being prepared here.
Yeah, that's the problem with being prepared, as we know what we're going to say. Anyway, Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, it's cute. It's stop motion, but it has this weird look because the stop motion puppets are all covered in fur, and you can tell that it gets moved between every frame, so there's this strange rippling effect on everyone's faces. But the vocal performances are great. The animation, the facial expressions on a lot of the characters are really good. It's really charmingly written. Like, really, really charming. I had a really good time, and I walked out of it feeling good. There's this strange sort of golden glow to the whole thing.
Any other movies you've either seen or... Oh! I'd also like to note that Mr. Sonic Rob is finishing strong on Film Century 1.5.
Very close now. I need to watch a movie every day for the rest of the year. But I think I can do it.
All right.
You know, with your prayers. Everyone out there, you know.
Everyone out there, pray for DVDs. Yeah. I don't know.
Every time you ring a bell, Sonic Rob watches a movie.
Looking forward to Sherlock Holmes. I'm not into Avatar.
No?
It's James Cameron. The man's a schlockmeister.
I'm a little weirded out by the concept of Avatar because from what I've heard, since the last time he made a film, he's like... been to space or something, or been to the bottom of the ocean. He's just been running around being rich as hell and enjoying himself.
Pretty much.
Which, to be fair, is probably no bad thing to do once you've made, you know, more money than any other director
alive.
Well,
I think it's actually pretty interesting that the last film James Cameron directed was Titanic.
Right.
And the man could have commanded the fee he wanted for any film afterwards. And he basically went around being like, I made Titanic so I could go to the Titanic. You know, and he's been kind of doing what he wanted. And so this film has the potential to be freed from sort of the artistic burdens of, you're James Cameron, this is the kind of film that you make, but at the same time, it's the only thing the dude's really been working on for 10 years. Do you think he can hear the word no?
It's funny to me, because, you know, he made Titanic, which is sort of the great Celine Dion film, and yet he made his name with Terminator and, like,
and
Aliens.
The Abyss. So the guy can pump out a fantastic action movie.
Yeah, he's got sci-fi action chops to spare. I just wonder if he isn't a bit out of practice.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And like you say, you know, he may not have heard no a lot. That's not how good things get made. That's how Lou Reed's Metal Machine music gets made.
This has a great potential for him to be Lucas'd.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly right.
And
this
could
be his Phantom Menace.
This could definitely be his Phantom Menace. And so I also am not really into the big CGI fest.
I don't know. Maybe it's an occupational hazard. I almost don't notice it anymore.
Okay, you watch a lot more movies than I do.
It's true.
So
I watch a lot more schlocky CG than you do, too.
Very true. So, James Cameron Avatar coming up. We're not particularly excited, but maybe we'll give it a shot if the reviews look great or the previews are awesome.
Depending on who's doing the reviewing. If I've got a couple of reviewers that I trust, and if some of them are into it, then I'll think about it. If they say, this is a big surprise.
Yeah, if everyone's like, oh my god, it's so much better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, then that might hold some interest. But otherwise, small screen.
Yeah, Netflix. Okay, any other movies
No. That
we're thinking of? Okay, so that's movies. Not a whole lot of movies right now.
It's funny because, you know, 'tis the season and all. Movie season, but I don't know if that's for you and me these days.
It's definitely not for me because I have no weekends. Mm. For those of you who are in the San Francisco Bay Area, I do the Dickens Christmas Fair at the Cow Palace in San Francisco, which means that I have no weekends between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Well, the baker is doing puppet shows every weekend. She bakes on Saturday and sells cupcakes and gingerbread men to children on Sundays. So,
yeah, so there's no... strangely enough, the wintertime is a time of very little free time.
Yeah,
Sonic Fire
kids.
Universe. No, it's not, I get 9 days off of, you know, school or whatever. It's
I
really,
don't even get the week between Christmas and New Year.
I don't either. I'm working.
That's trash.
I'm getting a holiday on the 24th and the 31st, which is floating holidays, so they're actually optional holidays at my job.
This is completely irrelevant to anybody else.
Totally irrelevant. If you're in the Bay Area, come out to the Dickens Christmas Festival next year. So, books. I'm participating in the Cannonball Read for Pajiba.com. I actually got, they pick every morning at 8 o'clock, they publish one of the reviews from the participant sites, and I actually got on there.
The resultant link back to Fire and Sonic quadrupled our lifetime hits.
Yeah,
Thank
it was
you.
Pretty awesome.
Thank you very much.
So,
welcome, Pajiba readers.
Welcome, Pajiba readers. I'm not going to rehash any territory from that. I will say that I'm currently reading... I can't call it a saga. If you could see the number of books by Icelandic people sitting behind me, you'd know why. The Twilight books.
Do you want to call it the Twilight cycle, perhaps?
It's
very menstrual.
Well, it's really one book. It really... The follow-on... I've only read Twilight and New Moon. And the problem is, at least in that, is that they are chapters of one story and that each cannot stand alone without the others. When Twilight ends, you know it's not really an ending. It's a pause. And where New Moon begins, if you don't know what happens in Twilight, you're completely lost. So they are one book that's just too big for one volume. So it's really chapters of a book. I'm reading them not because I'm particularly interested in sparkly vampires, but because it's the big thing right now and it's a cultural phenomenon, so I really want to know what people are talking about.
I can't believe I'm having a conversation about this. But go on.
You're not saying anything, so it's not actually a conversation.
I haven't read the book. I have nothing to say.
I have New Moon in the other room.
Good for you.
Okay, and I also want to say the only reason I own a copy of New Moon is I had checked it out from the library to read it, and I was mugged. And my copy of New Moon from the library was stolen. And so I bought a copy, and I'm going to donate it to the library to replace the copy that was stolen. So it's the only reason I own one of these books.
Any other disclaimers or hipster defenses you would like to offer?
No, I have to say that in New Moon, at least, obviously there's going to be a typed-up review coming up, but it's very much... it's a big bag of crunchy Cheetos. It's not good for you. You know it's not good for you before you open the bag. You know it's not good when you're eating it. You know not good when your fingers are covered in orange shit, but there's no way you're stopping.
That's actually a bag of Oreos for me. I've really? Made myself pretty ill with a bag of Oreos and a
I like actually a half did it once with one of those, it looks like a milk carton full of Whoppers. I couldn't eat Whoppers for something like 15 years. It was a bad scene.
Did you yak?
Almost.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with the Sparkly Vampires, is that I am reading the books for the sort of cultural phenomenon of it, and, you know, I'm trying to redeem myself by reading other good fiction.
I watched the first Twilight.
See, I haven't seen any of the movies yet.
I watched the first film, much like you said, to just sort of find out what the hoopla was about. My review's on the site.
Yeah.
It's a film century review, but...
Yeah, it's something about, like, bored-looking girls and sparkly boys who love them or something.
I was very surprised that this was the big stinking deal. It was just a whole bunch of bad acting and people being dumb.
Cedric Diggory!
No! Toothy girl, why don't your lips meet?
No. Trivia. Kristen Stewart was the daughter in Panic Room. So, anyway.
All right.
She has been in a good movie.
I haven't seen Panic Room.
Oh, it's good, yeah. Huh. It's a tight little film.
That's the only Fincher movie I haven't seen, actually.
We love the Fincher.
I was in college when Fight Club came out. There is no hope for me.
Seriously, I remember the first time I saw Fight Club. I was in college in Scotland. It was awesome. So that's movies and books. I'm also still in the middle of Team of Rivals by Doris Kearns Goodwin. It's a comparative biography of Abraham Lincoln and his cabinet. The
title of which has been done to death in modern political punditry.
I know, but the fact of the matter is it's about 700 pages long, but I'm actually really looking forward to everything. I'm about 130 pages in. It's awesome.
Do
it's really good.
For 3.5 cannonballs?
No,
for that
is one book. Some guy, someone on the Cannonball Read already reviewed it, so I was like, good on you, mate. No, it's really good. So yeah, I'm not reading as much as I'd like to be because I don't have weekends right now, but once the Festival of the Solstice rolls around, I will be reading more. Please feel free to send Amazon gift certificates to fireandsonic.com.
Is there actually a way for... Never mind.
I have no idea, but we should do that.
If you like us enough, you'll find a way.
We went to Umlaut.
We did.
Which is a fundraiser for the Child's Play charity. There are links in the sidebar to both the event website and the charity website.
For the kids.
For the kids. And this was a rock band night. It was basically you paid money and you got to go on stage at a club. And
well, if you were a weenie, you didn't actually have to pay. You could just get in for free.
Yeah.
You had to pay to get a raffle ticket.
And well, you had to pay to get on stage.
Well, you had to donate to get a raffle ticket. And the raffle had all kinds of gnarly stuff. They had, well, some joke things, like copies of Tony Hawk Ride.
Did they actually have copies of
Tony
Hawk Ride?
They did, in fact, have two copies of Tony Hawk Ride.
Did this actually get taken?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
But they also had sets of Rock Band drums and various limited edition items donated by game companies.
And there was swag for everyone who came in.
There was. We got... like a little novelty gopher, and then I got a...
It was a hamster...
Sure.
...grenade.
There. And then I also got a an onion book.
I got a God of War 3 t-shirt.
Very nice.
Which is... I don't wear t-shirts, especially not ones triple XL, but I can make, like, a bag out of it.
Leatherman! Would you wear that?
No. Oh. So, no, we had a great time. There were lots of awesome performances. If you go to Flickr and search for Umlaut, you'll see lots of great photos. The performance of the night for me is a tie between the band that showed up with Lego heads.
They were Lego Rock Band.
And they were Lego Rock Band, and the drummer was dressed as the crocodile. And this dude who did I Predict a Riot.
Well, the whole band did it, but he was the one that kind of went all out. Guitarist was bragging in the microphone about how he was so drunk.
Oh, their guitarist was wasted.
They paid,
$135.
$135 to screw up the first few bars of I Predict a Riot. Way to go, champ.
Hey, you know, though, they had a good time. There was some really awesome rock band performances. I think pretty much everyone who got up on that stage was awesome.
My favorite was the guy who was doing Black by Pearl Jam, who was literally clinging to the microphone stand attempting to stay upright.
And it didn't know the song at all.
It was the best Eddie Vedder impression I've ever seen. He nailed it.
So we went to Umlaut. It was a great time. We passed out flyers that said we would donate $1 to Child's Play for every person who commented on our Umlaut entry. We have had, not counting me, 5 comments. We'd really like to give a lot more money to Child's Play. So if you hear this podcast and you comment on this podcast or the Umlaut entry.
Either
way. Frankly, comment anywhere and be a real person. And we'll donate $1 to Child's Play, up to $100 total in donation. And we're running this. I think we're running this until January 1st.
How long does Child's Play run?
January 1st.
So that's how long we're running it.
So Child's Play actually runs all year, but they do the big drive until January 1st.
Sure.
And that's, if you've never heard of Child's Play and you play video games, go to the Child's Play website. It's awesome.
You presumably know how the Google works. Just go for it.
We have a link in our website, so if you know where our site is, you can go there.
All right, never mind.
So yeah, we went to Umlaut. We did not get on stage. You will not see photos of us because, frankly, we're pussies.
And ugly.
Speak for yourself.
I'm ugly.
You're not ugly. I'm sorry, you have a hot girlfriend.
I have a hot girlfriend who's extremely nearsighted. You will not be seeing photos of us on the internet.
The baker's listening. So you won't see photos of us, but if we go to Umlaut next year, we will. Probably.
Are we going to commit to a song right now?
We'll commit to doing a song at Umlaut next year.
Which one, though? Are we going to...
No, I'm not going to pick a song right now.
You don't want to rehearse for a year?
That would be good.
You don't think we need that much
time? Actually, I can score 100% on Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
It's rapping.
It's hard. People fail at that all the time. Sabotage is hard.
Okay, sure. Why not?
Anyway, Umlaut was a great time. Donate to Child's Play. Get us to donate to Child's Play.
Force us to steal money from us and give it to children. You can be internet Robin Hoods right now for the low, low price of 1 comment.
You can make my mortgage less affordable right now. Click here.
Yeah.
So
we'll be podcasting on the street next year.
That was Umlaut. It was a really great time. A lot of money was raised.
Yeah, if they do it again next year, which it looked successful enough, I hope that it was a worthwhile event and that they go ahead and do it next year. It seemed like a lot of good times, a lot of good feeling. There were a few real just big numbers where, like, especially the people that really came out with the costumes, like I almost said Full Throttle.
The band from Brutal Legends.
The Brutal Legends
Iron
band.
Head. That woman painted herself completely blue and wore latex.
So her costume was spoilers.
Yeah, her costume was spoilers.
But they went pretty nuts. I didn't know that song.
They did.
But yeah, when the Lego Rock Band did, what did they do, Everlong? They did My Hero.
They did Hero.
They did My Hero by the Foo Fighters, and the crowd, as the saying goes, went apeshit. I screamed myself hoarse.
That was
awesome. The Lego Men.
The Lego Men.
Oh, man.
I was slightly disappointed because there was Free Play Rock Band in the lounge,
Rock
and you could
Beatles,
just go up and play. But it was only Rock Band Beatles.
Yeah.
I don't really know any Beatles songs
at
all.
So they're not that complicated, honestly.
But I just didn't feel like I just...
No, you say it's your birthday. No, happy birthday.
See, I've never heard that before. So, but next year, Johnny Cash DLC should be available.
You don't think they're going to come out with, like, Rock Band Johnny Cash?
Hell yes.
American 1-2-3-4.
Dude, freaking Johnny Cash and the freaking Tennessee Three. So that was Umlaut. We had a great time. I think next year also we should do an episode from there. We should, like, interview people.
Do you honest? I don't know. It was pretty loud.
If we did it in
the
lounge?
Maybe. I think that doing audio in a venue would be really tough.
Or we could just interview people outside in the line.
That's true. It depends on the weather.
It totally depends on the weather.
December in San Francisco.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
I think if we did it in the lounge, then we could do all right.
Maybe.
So.
I would want to have permission.
Oh, absolutely.
But this is minutia. Anyway, that's not important.
Umlaut, if you didn't do it this year, do it next year. If you're in San Francisco or the Bay Area, it will be a really good time. What did we say with our next topic?
What have you been playing lately?
I haven't.
No? No time for love, Dr. Jones?
No time for love, Dr. Jones. Team Fortress 2. Oh, there's the whole Demoman Soldier War.
Which is, it looks like it's pretty even
right now. It's glitched out tonight.
Bah.
The Leatherman was all soldiering because Demoman suck. Firehair and her household are purely soldier all the way.
You mean purely rocket whore all the way?
Hell
is that what you're
yeah.
saying?
Crit rocket, biatch!
I'm sorry that you don't have the skill to use anything but
to
splash
be a
damage.
To be a grenade spammer? Okay. Talk about splash damage? That's all a demo man does.
No, the demo man carefully lays traps and uses tactics. The demo man can look, okay, if you're going to get into voice acting, I'm not going to have this conversation. But the fact of the matter is the demo man can change the entire flow of a map with carefully placed sticky grenades.
How often are they carefully placed?
Never. They're just flung willy-nilly through your entryway.
Exactly. People who play Demoman play Demoman because they're like, I just want to shoot 800 grenades where I can't see them and get 14 kills and dominate people without ever actually trying.
I want to hop around just shooting rockets at anything blue that moves.
The war was glitchy tonight. The Leatherman definitely got Demoman kills that didn't... He didn't get it. His counter didn't iterate, so... although the comics and everything have been really cool.
They're at 4.4 million
apiece. At like noon Pacific time today, they were at like 4.5 million apiece.
You people are insane. Get jobs.
Those are our people.
Our people are insane. They need jobs.
We have jobs. That's how can we afford game. So anyway, that's pretty cool. But mostly it's been and I've been replaying a Dawn of War original Dawn of War because my Dawn of War 2
nice.
Hasn't been working.
Still.
So I'm going through Soulstorm again. I know. He just rolled his eyes at me.
That's terrible. I am also going through Soulstorm again. I cannot wait for Chaos Rising. I need more single-player content.
I seriously cannot wait for Chaos Rising. I am so excited.
As well you should be.
I'm really excited for that. I'm also hoping at that point they put out some patches that actually fix my original stuff so we can finish our co-op campaign.
That would be pretty hot. Although, did we have any technical problems holding up co-op?
We never had... technical problems when
but
we were
haven't played
same.
It since you started crashing on
yeah.
the single player. That's true.
So I also cleaned my computer
yeah.
and I fixed some power issues that I had.
You upgun your power supply or something?
No, I changed the plug in the wall I'm using.
Ah. Simple as that, huh?
Yeah, well I bought a house that had some ghetto contracting in it and
well, your house is in some that of the, part of the world, so
yeah, some of our outlets are not wait, I should rephrase that. All of our outlets are sketchy. So we essentially need to rewire our whole house.
I look at your house, like your outlets, as free sources of 4th of July entertainment.
They're pretty free to you.
It's not my stuff. It's going to burn up.
Today, being a PlayStation 3 owner, I played the Dante's Inferno demo.
Mm, poetical.
I really love God of War and that type of game.
It's true.
I like the semi-mashy, good quick time event.
Game aside from God of War, another franchise aside from God of War in that vein that's that good.
Devil May Cry?
All right.
I've never actually played any of them, but I know that they're supposed to be similar.
Wow, okay then.
Sorry about that, kids. I'll get it cheap, don't worry.
You can borrow it off me. I have two or three of them.
Oh, yeah, please. Is it for PS2?
Yeah.
I need to actually get it out and replace PS God of War on my PlayStation 2. Actually plug the thing in. Because, okay, so God of War Collection came out for the PS3, but I still have my PS2 and the other two games, and I'm seriously not about to pay $50 for two games I already own that are slightly remastered.
There is no reason to do that.
And also, one of the issues with that and with Dante's Inferno, number one, our mother was a classical scholar who read Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso in Italian. Medieval Italian.
Yeah, so, yeah, she had them in our house.
In our house. I even
we grew
tried
up looking at the creepy pictures.
Totally freaky pictures. So it's Dante's Inferno, which is a really clever name, drawing on a very loaded cultural touchstone, as it were.
Well, for medieval lit scholars,
people
I guess.
Have heard of Dante's Inferno.
Yes, they have.
People don't know what it is.
No, they
They
don't.
Know it's this dude, Dante, and hell.
Yeah.
And so if you, that's pretty much what they've got. The hero's name is Dante, and hell is involved, and they have occasional quotes, and that's all it's got in common.
That's pretty much what the Solium Infernum guy from Gamma Sutra was saying.
Yeah.
You got a little huffy back when you liked Dante's Inferno. But
I never said I liked Dante's Inferno. Never said I liked it. So I tried a couple minutes of it at PAX, but I didn't really get any meat.
No, so, yeah, you actually took over from someone else who'd already gone away the PAX demo. It was okay. It was God of War-ish.
Yeah, it was God of War-y, and so I had a little taste there, and I was like, oh, this looks like it could be good. Okay, so I just downloaded the demo, and I played it, and I ran into a couple of problems. The first problem is I do not have a high-definition television by any means.
No, you actually have a low-definition television.
Yeah, I have a crappy old television.
It's beneath the standard.
I cannot read any of the text in this game. No matter how far or close away I am from the television, I can't read a lot of the stuff.
Text like, say, the descriptions of the combos and instructions for how to play?
Exactly! So that's really frustrating.
Sure.
Also, it's one of those games where, at least for me, if the volume was right for the cutscene dialogue, it was too high for the combat. And if it was just right for the combat, I couldn't hear the dialogue.
I would suggest that it may well be that the demo didn't have a stereo mix and you may have been hearing a 5.1 mix.
Okay. And it is a demo, and I would reserve judgment. The gameplay was pretty uninspired.
Green fountain,
blue fountain, gold fountain.
Deja vu.
I understand that with any type of game like this, the way to distinguish yourself is through plot and art direction.
It doesn't have... No, I don't know. I think I know where you're going with that. You're saying that there are... They don't want to reinvent the wheel. There are already understood conventions.
Well, they also want to tap into the market of people who like this type of game, so they don't want to stray too far from the game mechanics.
I guess, but I don't... It's almost like the type of game you're referring to is God of War-alikes, because you can have a beat-em-up that isn't exactly like God of War in every respect,
we're really
except for
getting
what the guy looks like.
It's pretty much that it's exactly like God of War.
Oh, right down to the boss takedowns.
Yeah.
The combo counter.
I will say that the quick time events were well placed and well timed.
You didn't seem to have any
I didn't have any super issues with
them.
There
were no controller snapping moments with those.
They weren't. Sometimes quick time events are like, no more. And, or, God, I can't hit it that fast. Especially in the demo, the quick time events were good. I had a pretty serious problem with the art direction and with some of the camera angles.
The art direction in terms of just
that,
the way
the cartoon
look.
Stuff?
Oh, yeah, you should go into a little more depth about
so
that.
So anyway, when you start, you're looking at it, it's fairly photorealistic. There's also an art style that's come out in some of the comic books. This is really cool sort of ethereal, drawn. It's very hard to describe, but it's almost sort of collage-y. It's a really unique art style. And so you were in the game, and it takes about a minute, and suddenly you're looking at heavy metal type cell animation.
Yeah.
And it's jarring.
Suddenly a cartoon.
You're sitting there going, is this the game? What the hell is going on here?
This is out of friggin' nowhere. It's, there's nothing in the publicity for the game or anything like that that's made you think that it will look this
way. Yeah,
it's like having a twist, almost.
Yeah, it's totally out of left field. It comes in a couple of times, and it just doesn't fit. It literally doesn't fit with the game.
Well, we were talking, I was talking to Leatherman, he was saying, is that a placeholder? Are they going to put in, like, real animation at some point? Or what?
Yeah, so that was a problem. I was in a boss fight, and the camera angles were very problematic.
To the point where you couldn't see where you wanted to go?
I had no idea where I was.
Oh, that's not good.
It's you're on a plane, and you're fighting the Grim Reaper, and I was like, where am I?
That's what, 2 minutes into the game, you fight the Grim
Reaper. Yeah, 2 minutes into the game, you fight the Grim Reaper. He goes down like a bitch.
It's that kind of thing.
So it's, you know, it was ludicrous, and, you know, a demo is there, and part of you forgives it because it's a demo, so it's not entirely a finished product.
That bullshit cliff falling out.
And
I didn't like that at all.
So you're in a scene, and some of the terrain falls away, and there's edges, and you're fighting things on this terrain, and suddenly, out of nowhere, with no warning, no visual cue, no, maybe you should get out of there, literally the floor just fell out from underneath me, and I died.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it was trial and error. You have to know not to be there when that happens.
Yeah. It wasn't something that you could be sufficiently skilled. You just had to know. So that was cheap.
Bad game designer. No Twinkie.
Yeah, but I understand that a demo is never going to be a completely finished product. There's always going to be issues with a demo. But at the same time, a demo is a marketing product that's there to try and convince you to buy this game.
Oh, yeah, this is their pitch.
This is their sales pitch to you. And the other problem is this game doesn't come out until February 9th. God of War 3 comes out in March.
Why bother?
Why am I going to spend my money on that when God of War comes out in a month?
If you seriously can't wait 30 more days after as long as you've waited now...
Yeah.
You do whatever you were doing before, you know, between God of War 2 and now, do that for 30 more days. Don't go for Dante's Inferno based on this demo.
If you have a Gamefly account and you want that kind of game, get it. If you're the kind of person who buys it and then, you know, turns it in for credit in a couple days, then you're going to do it anyway. I have really, really limited game buying dollars. I'm not going to waste my God of War money on this game, period. God of War did it first. God of War did it better. They have an improvement arc between God of War 1 and God of War 2 that promises to continue with God of War 3. So why am I gonna spend my money on an inferior product? I think if
you want to download the demo for yourself, be our guest. Oh, it's friggin' free.
Please download it.
But if you were super duper hyped and good to go, we're not gonna change your mind.
Yeah.
You probably already played the demo anyway. But if you were on the fence and you're curious what a couple of random people on the internet think, we're unimpressed.
Very unimpressed. If it had come out around Thanksgiving of this year, I think it would have had a better chance.
Yeah, they waited too long.
Because
they could have gotten in on that frustrated God of War gamers who had been like, this is good enough and I'm not getting anything else for a while.
Yeah, or they could have gotten the Christmas market that was being hit by Darksiders or God of War.
Right.
Now, I'm really excited. I'm still excited about Darksiders. I think it looks really interesting. We'll see what sort of more original types of gameplay.
See what their demo is like.
Yeah, see what their demo is like. See what their gameplay innovations are. The problem, another problem with Dante's Inferno, you get to choose with combos you get. And you can't get every combo. So that's kind of a gameplay innovation.
They want you to play through it twice.
Yeah. But there wasn't enough gameplay innovation.
No.
At least change the colors here, people.
Seriously, it was the exact same fountains. They looked like the same fountains. And of course, you had to tap on a shoulder button a few times.
And it had a useless. It did have a useless QuickTime event, which is just like Batman Arkham Asylum. They make you work for something that you can't actually fail at.
Yeah.
Which I always have a complaint with, especially because I don't know if y'all know this. I have an RSI. I have a repetitive stress injury in both of my wrists. I have pretty limited playing time sometimes, and I don't want to.
What you really have is limited button presses.
Yes, I have limited keystrokes. I have limited button presses, and every time you make me uselessly press on a button, you are actually hurting me.
They're stealing from you.
You could be permanently damaging my ass. So that was one of the things I really liked about God of War. It really never makes you do that. Maybe there are some times you have to do that, but it makes more sense, and it's not continual. Every time you go to a health fountain, you have to do this.
And a door.
Or a door, or whatever. Whereas with God of War, when you had to turn a thing or something like that, but it wasn't every health fountain. It wasn't a thing you're going to do every time.
Yeah. Dante seems to take that a bit further.
Yeah.
In the useless padding. No, really, you're doing stuff.
I had to do something.
One thing I did find interesting is that Dante's Inferno kind of reminds me of we don't actually think this is that funny version of the art style in Brutal Legend. It has that sort of the heavy metal hellscape.
At
least for the 3D parts. The 2D parts, again, are retarded. But yeah. The 3D parts are grotesque. On a level
I really enjoy the art direction of the 3D parts of the actual gameplay.
The areas that you play through look spectacular.
They look consistent. The frame rate's great. The controls were good.
Aside from the camera.
Aside from the camera issue, I actually really enjoyed the art. I enjoyed the adultness of it. It is very adult.
There's boobs.
There's titties. There's murder. There's blood.
I don't know. I don't tend to think of that stuff as adult because it's the kind of thing that I think of as it appeals to sort of the more childish nature. It's not mature.
It's puerile.
Yeah.
Purient.
If it really got into themes of the inevitability of death and like questioning the existence of God, that'd be friggin' mature.
Yeah, you're talking about sophistication.
That's maturity. I don't think boobs make wanting to see boobs make you mature. I wanted that at 12, and I wasn't mature for nothing.
Let me say this: it's R-rated.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to say: is that it's R-rated.
Yes, this is not a game for young people.
But again, if I'm ever in EB and it's on the $5 game wall, yeah, I might pick it up. At the same time, I might go and not waste my time playing it because I've only got limited playing hours.
Exactly. At that point, that's the thing is, I look at a lot of games. Where I say, I would pay, like in this case, I think we're going to give this one a $10 review.
Yeah, this is a $10 review for sure.
By the time games have dropped that far, a lot of the time I'm excited for something else already, and I'm waiting for it to hit 30 or 40, or just waiting for it to friggin' come out so I can give them full price. Please take my $60. Yeah. I want your game so bad.
If I'm going to buy a game right now and invest my life in it, I'm getting Dragon Age. Okay? Dragons, yeah. Looks so good. I'm waiting for the new year.
I love me some BioWare.
I love me some RPG and some BioWare. I'm really looking forward to BioShock 2.
Sure.
There's so many games I'm looking forward to right now.
We are pre-budgeting our limited gaming time now. You have to
In fact, in the Sonic Fire universe, PC games only have to be budgeted once if we buy them physically.
That's true.
Because then we can trade them off. You know, I'm saving up my money for God of War 3. I'm saving up my money for Chaos Rising.
I'm looking at Mass Effect 2. Dragon Age, which I will not call Dragon Age, because if you mash a word like that,
Dragon
Age, like it's one word. It's
Dragon Age, Origins, and so I think that I'm not going to spend my gaming dollar, and I'm not going to spend my gaming hour.
I'm looking forward to finally getting into Fallout 3 once the Game of the Year edition has its post holiday price drop.
You should probably hold off on that, maybe.
Fair enough. Resident Evil 5 is going to have its big deluxe sort of battle chest edition come out in March.
Okay.
That I'm looking forward to.
Would you rather have Fallout or Supreme Commander?
Oh, Fallout, by all means.
Okay.
We're
not talking about what I'm getting for New Year's. So that's the Dante's Inferno demo review, is that it was very meh.
Yeah, aggressively mediocre.
It didn't bring anything to the table that made me excited.
I mean, I will say that they did what they did adequately. Like I said, the engine that they used was fine. I found the 3D art direction, the environment direction, to be really pretty intense. But I was not impressed with what they decided to do as far as gameplay. I was at best just sort of left sort of not caring, and at worst actively insulted.
Yeah.
Admittedly, it was 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was very short.
It's what, 6 to 10 hours, probably?
Yeah.
But how much of that's going to be just, here's my combo again, I'm slashing through more of these dudes? Well, how many is going to be some of those really neat patterned boss fights?
Yeah.
I mean, if they keep throwing new stuff at you, like when they had that fire thing and the little spark things come out and you have to kill them. It's the question of, do they keep mixing it up like that, or do they just keep throwing that at you again every time you want to block a doorway?
One of the things about God of War, because it is very mashy, you are killing a lot of people, that keeps it interesting is the puzzle.
Sure.
Is that you do have to figure out how to do what you're doing.
You can
doing.
Stop
and it's
wailing
not,
on the square button for a
it's
minute.
Not overly complex, but you do have to stop and think. And then you stop and think, you solve the puzzle, you get a nice little reward, and then you get to kill some more people.
That is the reward. Isn't
That's
it?
The reward. What's nice about God of War is it's a smart little puzzler as well. Dante's Inferno, Fire and Sonic review, skip it.
Yeah, $10.
Yeah, $10, rent it, you know.
I haven't been playing a lot of PC games. I've been getting my 40K minis painted up.
For those of you who don't know what that means, that's Warhammer 40,000.
Like Dawn of War, except with no computer involved.
Except tabletop miniatures.
Which you buy and...
are very expensive.
Yeah, you have to drop a fair amount of coin to get started.
$2,500.
That's not true. Well, I haven't dropped that much.
Yes.
You can get a smallish
you can
army
get
purchased and painted up for around $100.
Assault on Black Reach, which is the starter kit, comes out for $100.
You need some paint and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm painting up my Space Marines right now, and it's an interestingly meditative little thing, and that's great.
You paint tiny men with tiny brushes.
I do. I'm turning into a middle-aged man. Just like it's coming so fast that what's left of my hair is blowing back. It's incredible. But I'm enjoying the. You know, this is one of the things that our father was into when we were growing up was the sale and engagement in the tabletop gaming, wargaming hobby in general. It's sort of how we became the little gamers that we are.
Yeah.
It was our early and often exposure to gamers of all stripes
in
the con circuit. Yeah, and so I do feel weird having sort of strayed away from that to find myself sort of making a course back
into it. The way I think about it, and I love board games. I just love board games. The way I sort of think about miniatures is, say you take something like Dawn of War, especially more like Dawn of War 2, without the base building. Now imagine it's on a table. You have a set number of miniatures you start with.
Right, you don't get
And instead of the computer figuring it all out, you roll the dice.
Yeah, it's all dice.
It's slower.
A lot more luck.
For anyone who played Mark of Chaos, Mark of Chaos was very close to the miniatures. It was Warhammer Fantasy, but it was that you started with a set army, and you had to tactically move that army. Now, it's turn-based. You know, it's not real-time. You're not both moving at the same time. But I think it's really, really fun, the ways in which my friends who play in Warhammer tournaments deal with dice that betray them are infinitely amusing to me. I really like minis. My painter, the Leatherman, has been kind enough.
Among other things that he is for you.
Among the other things that he is for me, has shopped for and procured and painted multiple 40K armies so that we can fight each other. That's some dork love right there.
Couple that plays together.
And so, actually, we were supposed to play last week, but he hadn't put up the army list. So we're putting the army list together. My army is orcs, and they're goths.
Natural.
And his army is blood angels.
Right.
And there's various codices, and this is how Games Workshop makes their money, is they have a different rule book for every chapter and every kind of something.
There is no shortage of things to spend your money on.
There really isn't. It's gaming. It's not online gaming. But it's also very, very social because there are a lot of game shops that's like, you know which day of the week is Warhammer 40K and which
sure.
is Warhammer Fantasy and which is this and which is that. And you
it's
go
social,
in.
It's social, and the thing I'm enjoying about it is actually the creative aspect. Choosing an army list based on something other than build order. And
it's very much, much more complex and strategic. It's
oh, sure.
not, okay, everybody does the cap this, build it in that order, build your first one, tier up. It's you're on the field with
right.
what you've got, and you have to make it work.
And it's one it works in the reverse of Dawn of War, kind of, because you start big and get whittled down instead of starting with a hero and three scouts, and then I've got to build up and bloat up and get out into the field. It's we're on the field, we're within 2 feet of each other. Start rolling, go, and shit gets real.
Yeah, like the strategy with orcs, at least the strategy I'm going to try, is orcs can't shoot. They have guns because they like the noise, but they don't really do any damage at a distance. And so the idea with orcs is the Space Marine or the Elder or whoever are firing at you. Close as fast as you can. And so literally you run them into a hail of fire.
Yep.
It's in and pray that you close it. And so for someone who, I'm used to playing board games, I'm used to playing tabletop, so I know how this is going to work.
You know a little bit about strategic thinking.
And flanking. For fun and profit. So, yeah, so we've been doing a lot of tabletop, and once we start playing, we'll be posting action shots, some of our matches, so you can see the figs and playing, and it's fun, and you might see our hands.
Possibly. You will discover whether or not we are white.
Yeah, my dog has a rather unfortunate habit. And
he's developed a minis habit.
He chewed a tank. Tanks are expensive, but fortunately it was a tank that was going to be turned into a looted tank, so the damage is...
He helped with that.
Yeah, he kind of helped orcify it. So that's really, I think, what's been playing in our household lately.
To take things in a weird direction, I've been playing a lot of Madden.
Oh,
yeah. Madden NFL 10, 2010, whatever you want to call it. I play Madden. I don't play online at all. I don't play on Xbox Live really at all. I play on Windows Live for Dawn of War.
Only reason I'm on Windows Live is because Dawn of War makes you be on Windows Live.
Sure. I'm not really interested in playing sort of the brand of Madden that I've heard about being played online, where people make custom teams and really min-max them and go nuts and come up with all kinds of weird abuses for the engine. What I'm really enjoying is I'm treating Madden as a weird sort of football RPG where I take a team, and I do this when I get Madden every 2 or 3 years. So, they make incremental changes. So when I get it, it's really fairly different from the last one I've played. And I'll take a team, this year I'm taking the Niners, why not, and run through franchise mode, which is 30 years long. It is a 30 years football war.
Wow.
Yeah.
30 years?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's pretty amazing. I was actually listening to, it's Monday night, and I was listening to the Niners play the Cardinals, which was the game I just finished this evening before I came over, I started having weird
flashbacks.
What
a strange metatextual experience.
Right. I mean, I know all the players on both teams that were being, called, as they were calling the game. It was very strange. And I could very nearly envision the game going on over the radio. I probably shouldn't do that while I'm driving.
No.
But, it's interesting. NFL Madden 10 is good in the ways that Madden is always good. They have a great play calling mechanic. The passing feels as good as it ever has.
Mm-hmm.
The running this year is not bad. They've slowed it down a bit. They want it to be a little less completely out of hand than it has been at times. But they've taken out a lot of the gamey elements that they've had in previous editions, where they would have things like, they would have players have roles. Like, your role is to be a captain comeback, where you get bonuses in the fourth quarter if you're behind for a quarterback. Or your role is to be a blocking back, where, you're a running back, but if you get called to block offensively, you do well, and that kind of thing. They've taken all of this kind of extra stuff out and kind of pared down the actual gameplay rather a bit from what I've seen. There's still a lot of ways to call audibles. You kind of have to audible a lot. You need to read the defense, try and maybe have a guess at what the offense is doing, but there's so many things you can do with the offenses as far as trick plays. I pulled a flea flicker the other day out of Mike Singletary's playbook.
Nice.
That was unexpected. The gameplay is, I think they're focusing more on football and less on video game.
Okay.
There's,
well, that's always the balance they have to make, right?
Right. But the other direction that they've taken it is that they're going for a very television kind of look. Mm. They're trying to give you this
looks like Monday Night Football.
The feel of watching Monday Night Football. So they've got Fran Charles and Alex Flanagan, who I think are from ESPN or something like that. Oh, God. Now I'm betraying my ignorance. I don't watch sports on TV. Anyway, they've got a couple of TV sports personalities who do a halftime show where they talk about scores around the league and show you highlight plays from your game and stuff.
Okay,
like,
what's
that.
The freaking point? Can you skip it?
Yeah, well, you can, like, A-button your way through it. It sort of starts every segment, and you cannot prevent it from playing in the middle of the game, and it's kind of bad.
Yeah, that seems like the kind of thing I'd wanna skip.
The whole thing is kind of stitched together. It, you know, there's only, you know, it's like the Raiders were ahead by 7 at the halftime. Alex Smith has thrown for 250 yards.
Press 8 to hear this message.
Seriously?
Again.
Yes, exactly. That is what it sounds like. It's
pretty
sad. Para
información en
español,
marque 8.
They've got a couple of pretty good guys doing the play-by-play, but there's a little bit when they'll suddenly be like, Frank Gore is one of the best backs in the game today. You know, and you're just like, why did you do that?
This game has sounded... Barack Obama, so probably really good.
But the game, they've been trying to do that kind of, they're stitched together Frankenstein voiceovers for years now, and it's always sounded like that, and I'm just like, this has always been a problem. Haven't you found a way to write around it somehow, or direct these people when they're doing their voice? I know they're not really actors, but they're personalities. They speak for a living. Surely they have at some point been told how to say the names of two football teams in the same tone. There are only...
It's hard, dude. That's hard.
There's only 32 of them.
The Raiders. The Raiders.
The Raiders?
The Raiders. Raiders.
The Raiders.
The Raiders.
And
anyway.
There are other things that they try to do. Like, the replays that they do after the plays are really great, and some of the commentaries are good, but sometimes they're really buggy. Like, you'll a lot of time, there'll be a sideline pass,
mm-hmm.
and the defensive back will tip the pass away, and it'll be an incompletion, and they'll talk about it like it was a completion. Things like that will happen.
Oh, that's buggy.
They will just describe the play that didn't happen. And I actually blew a challenge because I was listening to the replay. And then I went back and watched the actual instant replay. I'm like, that no. And then I looked at the down counter and I was like, it was fourth down, you know.
That's a problem.
It is. And there's other stuff like you can send a man in motion on offense.
Yeah.
But the way you do this is you tap a button until you find the guy you want. You're in the offensive play view, well, actually all play view, is from up and behind the quarterback looking down on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So you tap around till you find the player that you want to send in motion, then you tap in the direction you want him to go in motion, and he goes, and then whoever needs to move on or off the line will do that, just in case. But if you have receivers lined up at the very outside, they are not on screen.
Oh.
So you have to tap until no one has the little I'm the guy in motion marker, and then press a direction and hope you sent the right guy in motion.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's not.
Can you change that view? Can you zoom out?
I don't think so, no. I could play with the options, but I'm pretty sure that's the only view that's available. Yeah. And there's other just silly stuff, like they have when you're playing like an important game, like a Monday night game instead of Sunday afternoon, or the divisional champ playoffs, the United States Air Force Thunderbirds will fly overhead. This is what they've spent their time on.
I was gonna say, that's what they spent their licensing money on.
If you win the Super Bowl, which I did in my first year.
Good job.
Yes. The celebration that takes place, your guys will sort of pile onto a float in the middle of the field. Like your team captains. There's like four of them or so. And they will be happy and rejoice in complete and utter silence. There is no music. There is no sound. There's no sound of the crowd. There is no nothing.
Thanks, EA. Good job.
It's pathetic.
That is pathetically bad.
And there will be other weird things, like, it's just shoddy. It's a shoddy game in places.
Yeah.
You can, at the start of the game, they'll have a couple of, because they're trying to make it look like TV.
I'd just like to announce that our hater of the week is Sonic Rob.
Hating on Madden. And loving on Madden at the same, the thing is, I love the football part. This TV part is utter bollocks.
So, but no, the gameplay is good. The meat.
It's what you have to wade through to get to the meat.
So it's basically like...
It's like a delicious steak covered in bland white gravy.
I was about to say, a delicious steak with, like, frozen vegetables on the side with rancid butter.
Except that you can avoid eating your vegetables.
Okay, you have so it's bad sauce.
It is!
So it's a delicious steak with... it's like that steak with pepper sauce I got from that steakhouse one time in
San
Francisco.
It's a bad chicken fried steak, yeah. The chicken fried steak part is good. The gravy, hit or miss. Yeah, they'll have these little shots at the beginning of here's your quarterback warming up, or here's your running back trying to, you know, break a few test tackles with his teammates, just like getting warmed up and all that. And it'll just kind of sit there watching them do that for a while after the commentary stops. And they're just kind of, you know, quarterback stand, oh, someone handed him a football, he's throwing it, who gives a shit? And then at the end of the game, they'll have stuff like, you know, the quarterback will run up and a TV crew will begin to interview him. And you'll hear crowd noise as, you know, the people are all leaving and spilling their beer on each other. You can't hear this interview. You can't hear the guy asking questions. You can't hear him talking. So all you do is you sort of sit there for a while watching the quarterback kind of stand there with his hand on his hip going, he's saying something, presumably. Wow, uh-huh.
They can't even do like a Sims-like.
No, they're not. It's not even like Charlie Brown parents. Like, it's there are a lot of rough edges in the presentation, and I wouldn't care so much except they made such a big deal that the focus this year was on presentation. Which, what it really sounds like, the focus this year was on a feature, and they half-assed it after they'd already committed to it.
Nice.
And I understand that they had a lot to do. There's probably hundreds of hours of voice work in this thing. As much as Dragon Age, right?
Yeah.
The number of teams, the number of player names and numbers and yards and scores, the color commentary is phenomenal most of the time, and often it's kind of insightful, at least the first few dozen times you hear them say, you know, that they sent the outside linebacker on a run blitz, that was a great idea.
Ooh, guard pull. So what would be your Sonic Fire rating of this game? Steak with bad sauce?
I would get last year's. You can probably get it for under $10 at this point. And the football part of Madden doesn't change a lot. The biggest change that I've seen to Madden since I started playing in 2003 was the addition in 2005 of defensive audibles for individual players, where you didn't just change the defensive play that was being called, where you know, okay, let's go to a cover three. Let's go into a, you know, like a, I don't know, we need to do a linebacker blitz, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you're fast enough in the sort of post-Madden 2005, which was each year they sort of flip between working on defense and offense, and that was a defense year. They had, that guy from the Ravens, Ray, anyway, that's not important.
Because I follow football. Not.
He's a really great linebacker. Anyway, they added in the ability to change what each defensive player was doing. If you were fast enough, you could have this guy spy on the quarterback and hang out and wait to see if he was going to run. You could have this guy who was originally going to be in man drop back into his zone and have this guy go over to a sideline zone and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And that's nice. And they also put in the ability to reverse the direction of a running play without changing anything else about it, just like a flick of an analog stick.
Okay.
Those things are all still in there. They all still work great. Like I said, one of the biggest things for success that I've seen in playing Madden is audibling at the line, taking a read of what the offense or defense is doing. Because when you're playing defense, you don't get to see what the offense is playing, but you get to see what players they have. But then
it's more like football.
Well, there are trick packages, though, where someone will take like a 3 running back set and have 2 of them on the line as receivers. So you've pulled out your 4-3 defense to stop a run, and they're doing like a 4-deep pass pattern. And you are effed in the A.
Unless you blitz like a mofo.
It's good luck blitzing that fast.
That's what linebackers are for.
No, I know it is, but it's...
I'm saying that's what I would do.
Unless you have really strong...
And I'm not saying in Madden, because I've never played Madden. I used to play football, and that's what I would do.
You should come over and play Madden. I'd be curious to see your impressions of it, because...
Talking about Madden for like 20 minutes.
The best way to get a sack in Madden is to have really, really great zone coverage.
Yep.
And make the quarterback hold on to the ball.
That's the best way to get a sack.
All right. See, it's not...
So Madden does
a
really
good... men in the box all heading in.
Well,
there.
The trick is that Madden does a really good job at actually being a game of football.
Yeah, it's when it tries to turn into a TV show that it gets shitty.
So, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much for joining us once again for the 4th episode of Sonic Fire, the podcast of FireAndSonic.com. Please feel free to visit us at FireAndSonic.com, read a couple posts, maybe leave some comments, maybe you could read some Film Century reviews, or go check out what Fire's been doing on the Cannonball Read. And also, remember to comment and give to Child's Play on your own if you want.
Yeah, and thanks again from me. And I'll see you around, and let me know if you're going to be out at the Kaiser Permanente half marathon on Super Bowl Sunday, and maybe I can look you up.
Thanks for me, and if you're going to be hanging out in my living room, I'll see you there. Otherwise, I don't really go anywhere, so you're not likely to run into me.
All right, I'll see you there. All right, bye.